Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and it's good to have back because we've had him in past years, and then him yet this year, and we're almost at the end of baseball season. Lance Restum, executive director, Arkansas Travelers Youth Foundation. Lance, I almost pushed you to the end of the season, but thanks for coming back.
We got it in. Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's always fun. Now, for those who are not familiar, everybody's familiar with who the Arkansas Travelers are, but tell us what the Arkansas Travelers Youth Foundation is.
Well, the Youth Foundation is the official 501c3 of the Arkansas Travelers. It's a public charity. You know, the Travelers for decades have been community and philanthropically geared organization. We're always doing kid programs and things like that, but we never really had a vehicle in which to mobilize it. And the need is great. You know, you and I have talked outside of this, and many of your listeners are aware that youth baseball is in trouble.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of problems. And so the creation of the Arkansas Travelers Youth Foundation fundamentally is designed to fix that problem.
It is really one of my favorite things when I was involved with the Travelers, and I say was because I do want to touch on this. There was a sale. The locally owned ownership is no longer the owners. I was the vice president of that board, but we sold to a national organization which owns more than 30 teams that really has the resources you've got to have to compete in this new world where Major League Baseball controls all of the minor leagues. But I want to say this, and I'll let you make any other comments, Lance, but it seems to me that all of our great staff, you included, were kept on, that the fans haven't noticed anything. It's the same great experience they've always come to expect from Dickie Stevens Park. So in that sense, that sale, which happened after the season started, has gone very smoothly.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's a testament to DBH and the transition that fans didn't notice.
Diamond Baseball Holdings, right. Diamond. The new owner.
Yeah, and it has been a great thing. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. We're in a new world. Baseball is a new world. Professional baseball has changed dramatically. You know, after COVID and the creation of the PDL, there is new rules, new regulations, and new – and you've talked to Rusty about that and had him on your podcast. In detail explaining the requirements that were necessary to do that. And one of the things that was beneficial of that is that they have goals and aspirations of continuing the foundation. Now, when they purchased the team, they purchased the Travelers. They didn't buy the
Youth
Foundation.
That's
so
right.
We are a separate company, but we in essence are supported by the Travelers and 100% focused on helping families and kids here in our community.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things you've done this year. Let's start with college scholarships. In 2024 already, 16,000 given away in college scholarships. That program, boy, I'm worked in higher education as head of the Arkansas Independent Colleges and Universities for 5 years. So, and I write a lot about higher education, and I can't think of anything better you can do in this state where we are so desperate for more college graduates than those scholarships.
You're absolutely right. Well, no, you're absolutely right. The problem with especially baseball and softball is there's not a lot of scholarships available. I mean, even at the high, Razorbacks aren't giving out 15 scholarships.
No, not at all.
So there's a lot of need for that. And what has happened, and this is a great thing in a lot of the community colleges, a lot of the HBC colleges locally, like Philander Smith and Arkansas Baptist College, and even farther down SAU Tech down there in the Delta area. I mean, there's been a growth and expansion in the programs. And when those programs are created, you know, the SEC and these other colleges, they create a program, but they don't tell you how to fund it.
Right, right, exactly.
So we've got a lot of students who want to play baseball and are looking for opportunities, but it's just so expensive. And I mean, you College is expensive. Room and board is expensive. Baseball equipment is expensive.
Very.
So what we do with these scholarships, and it's something great that we've been able to do, we're giving them right now $2,000 a semester, so $4,000 a year total to each university to their athletic department. It's geared towards baseball and softball. So mm-hmm. that's who we're scholarshiping. And we leave it up to the athletic director and the coaches to how they allocate that money. Some schools are doing $500 a kid. Some schools are giving $1,000 or $2,000 to a kid. So whatever's best for that program. But that is one of the programs we're most proud of, because just what you said, it's a great opportunity. And these are Arkansas kids. These are kids from Arkansas.
Exactly.
From communities around
exactly.
here, going to school in Arkansas, getting education here in Arkansas. And hopefully when they graduate, they'll get jobs here in Arkansas.
Wonderful program. I hope to see that expand in the years ahead. Like I said, we are just desperate to get more college graduates. And one of the things why I urge people to support our colleges and universities, and I'm not talking just the University of Arkansas, but everything from UAM to Henderson to, like you said, our private HBCUs, Arkansas Baptist, Philander Smith, right here in Little Rock, is that we are next to last, Lance, in the percentage of adults 30 and older with a bachelor's degree or higher, and we're really never going to get per capita incomes in our state up until we increase that number. So thank you for being involved in that program. All right, let's go back to the kids aspect.
Right.
Because
that's the we start at the oldest. We should start at the youngest.
Well, so many are not playing baseball. We live in a on-your-phone video mm-hmm. game, stay-inside era. And yet already this year you have served more than 800 kids in free clinics mm-hmm. trying to get them hooked on baseball, if you will.
Absolutely. One of the biggest problems that our youth is facing is an overall health epidemic, right? And this isn't just a baseball thing. Mm-hmm. This is a kid thing.
Exactly.
We got childhood obesity, childhood diabetes, too much screen time. I mean, I don't know if anyone realizes this, but the Department of Health, the government says that if you're under 5, you should get 0 hours of screen time.
Yeah.
And 7 to 12, 2 hours a day is what they say. I can't tell you one 12-year-old that gets only 2 hours of screen time.
Right.
They get that in the classroom nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a huge challenge to overcome, and that's what we're doing with these free clinics. We've been able to host more this year than we've ever been able to host before. We've had participation from new facilities and expanded our region of where those clinics are hosted. And we've had a great expansion of college. You know, we got the Travelers,
right,
which are Seattle Mariners, and I talked those guys into coming out, and that's always fun for the kids to get to meet a professional baseball player. But I've also had great support from the colleges. You know, local universities like the ones you just mentioned will send their players to volunteer elbow support, if you will, for the baseball, for the Travelers. And these kids are loving baseball. And these aren't advanced skills clinics.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
isn't the kid who has his name on his bat bag. Not your clinic, right? But for the kids who are questioning, should I play sports? I've got a sibling that plays. They can come to these clinics and have an opportunity to learn in a relaxed, fun environment where they're learning skills, but they're also having a good time. And then while we're at the clinic, we activate a lot of different ways. One of the things I'm most proud of this year is our mobile wellness center. We were able to create with partnerships with grants that we received from Delta Dental, grants that we received from Union Pacific. We received, you know, over $20,000 in grants this year. And that was to build a mobile wellness center so that we can do fluoride treatments, wellness, hydration, proper stretching, everything from getting a good night's sleep to hydration starts the night before,
beautiful.
Right? There's a
yeah.
whole gamut
exactly.
of how we're helping kids not just play baseball, but be healthy and become healthier.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea, too, of the Youth Wellness Center. You know, you're talking about proper diet there. You mentioned mm-hmm. the hydration. You mentioned how you stretch before you mm-hmm. work out. And then the oral health aspects mm-hmm. of it. You know, I think that you know, baseball, not so much these days, but was so long associated with tobacco
yep.
chewing and
yep.
Spitting tobacco everywhere that baseball owes back years of supporting oral health now after
that image
when you and I were growing up.
Oh, yeah,
so often.
Yeah. The chew, yeah. dip, and die, or the chew, dip, and die baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you're exactly right. And Major League Baseball and Minor League has regulated that, so they no longer allow that.
Right.
But it's still a cultural thing. And, you know, oral hygiene is important to your overall health of your body. And when you're out there drinking water bottles, putting in mouth guards, and even, you know, your face guards. Part of this grant that we received is going to buy face guards for softball girls so that they can put helmet face guards on their helmets to protect their face. So there's a lot of different aspects of how we can give back to the community and help those kids get outside and play ball, which ultimately that's really what it's about. It's getting them outside.
Absolutely. I must tell you, my next guest after you that I'm going to be taping is the president of Lyon College to talk about the state's first dental school, which will soon be opening here in Little Rock. So I'm also kind of up on my high horse, not only get more college degrees, but we've got to get more oral health. We got a lot of problems in Arkansas.
We do.
That's another one. Yeah. And again, you're helping address it.
You're right. There's a lot of problems. And Arkansas, unfortunately, is 46th, 47th in the country in a lot of different categories. Pick a category. And so what we've done is we're trying to focus in on the youth. Right now, if you're a kid and you are 8 to 12 years old and you want to play on a competitive sports team, baseball or softball, your parents are going to spend a bunch of money, $18,000 to $2,000. Mm-hmm. One of our board members, his name's Jeff Fuller, his son plays. He sent me the request and the bills for winter ball. You're looking at $3,000 plus equipment, plus stuff just to get them involved in competitive sports. That's unattainable. Our fans, our citizens, the people that live within proximity of our ballpark cannot afford that. Mm-hmm. And so the Youth Foundation, through our scholarships at the college level, through our clinics at the younger level, and then through our field renovation projects where we're donating money. This year, we were able to help 7 different youth complexes around the state, from Easton to Haskell Sardis, Salem, where we were able to donate clay, packing materials. We bought new bases. Central High School, their softball team, the softball coach called me. He's like, oh, we really need new bases. So we provided all new equipment for the high school softball team. And then I ended up hiring the softball girls as my promo crew.
There you go.
It was a give and take. I was like, sure, some bases, but I'm going to hire your softball players to work for me.
Yeah, so. I can tell you I am the voice of experience in that I raised 2 sons, one of whom played on a travel basketball team, one of whom played on a travel baseball team, and it does get very expensive. I'm the voice of experience. I can attest to that, even though it's been a number of years ago. For me, it's only gotten more expensive. And I want to mention while we're at this point, Lance, I'm not going to try to pull you into a political issue at all, but one of the reasons I am personally supportive, and you can talk broadly about it, but I'm a citizen of Little Rock, and the Little Rock sales tax initiative that's coming up in November is the fact that there are plans to build a state-of-the-art indoor sports complex in downtown Little Rock and a state-of-the-art outdoor sports complex out near the Outlet Malls and Bass Pro in Southwest Little Rock. And, you know, it was just frustrating to me to raise 2 sons in the largest city in the state, and you're always having to travel. Mm-hmm. Because cities around you had such better municipal facilities. And that's some of the reason I know you have gotten involved helping out with facilities themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, Lamar Porter, which is on the National Historic Registry list, right? It is a historic field. Brooks Robinson got his start there, Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is so much history tied up in that Lamar Porter field, and it's just dilapidated. And there's no money, there's no state funds, there's no city funds. Kathleen Courtney is one of my board members. She's a grant writer. I mean, talk about a godsend. She is responsible for us bringing in that $20,000. Mm-hmm. We're writing a grant for over $120,000 to renovate Lamar Porter Field.
How wonderful
would
that be?
And turn that back. And so on that point, you know what? They waste our tax dollars in a lot of different ways. If we have some that goes to stadiums, that is all for – I'm happy to support that. Happy to support that.
Absolutely. And the other thing I point out to people is that – youth sports are absolutely recession-proof. And here's what I mean by that. Even when times are tough, you're going to find the money to go watch your kids play. You're going to find the money to go watch your grandkids play. You're going to stay in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to eat in local restaurants. You're going to buy gas in that town. Trust mm-hmm. me, I've been there,
right.
Both basketball and baseball. And if we could build, you know, outdoor and indoor, some of the best facilities in the nation right here in Little Rock, you're going to draw constant tournaments. And it's really going to help the economy in a big
way. Absolutely, absolutely. Not only
youth sports are big businesses.
It's huge.
These days.
In fact, when I played sports, you had your $45 trucker hat and you played in it. It's not like that. I mean, now this is big money. They're paying $7,500. A team to participate in these tournaments sometimes, and they're great money makers, which mm-hmm. would be a huge economic driver for the city of Little Rock and North Little Rock. If we could bring those tournaments here, not just Little League, but also collegiate.
Yeah.
You know, I know you are very invested in Majestic Park.
Right.
Love that facility. In fact,
Hot Springs has done such a great job.
Probably the most premier youth facility in the state right now.
And you know,
I'd
it
say.
Is so popular now, Lance. They need four more fields. And
yes.
Of course, as you know, it's in a residential area, so
there's no
room
parking
for four more
there's
fields.
No field,
yeah.
There's no parking, and
right.
yeah, Derek out there is an amazing guy. I love him, and we're actually writing a grant for them as well
right.
to turn an indoor that practice field. We're going to cover it and make mm-hmm. it an indoor facility because they can't host collegiate games because they don't have an indoor batting cage
That's
facility
right,
to meet
people.
Those requirements.
Mm-hmm.
The facility is amazing. It's gorgeous. It could easily host those games, but you're right. There's a lack of facilities, and so what we're doing is helping build those facilities and promoting facilities that exist. Something that we're going to be releasing in about a month is our facilities standard list, and it's just a list of all the facilities, how much it costs to rent, all the contact information, just a resource page for coaches and parents to be able to find more places to get kids outside to play ball.
Now, if we succeed in getting more kids involved, there's another end to that, of course, and that is you're going to have more adult volunteers mm-hmm. involved. And I know one of the new things you're going to be doing with the foundation in 2025 is a coaches clinic, which will be supported by the Seattle Mariners. The Travelers, of course, an affiliate of the Mariners.
In fact, this is the thing I'm most excited about, Russ, because I got to tell you, the Mariners have been an excellent support. Dan Wilson, who's been my direct report mm-hmm. for the last 6 years, has been awesome in the Mariners Care Program, giving us resources. Well, I don't know if you followed it, but if for any of those non-baseball fans, the head skipper of the Mariners was released.
Absolutely.
And the gentleman that replaced him is Dan Wilson.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Literally, the guy who I had lunch at Old Bart's with two yeah. weeks ago is now the head skipper for the entire Mariners organization. And uh-huh. he quoted me. I'm going to hold him to this. I sent him an email. I was like, Dan, congratulations. By the way, don't forget about me in February. He not only is going to provide us with resources for the coaches through the Positive Coaching Alliance, which are modules, education modules, mm-hmm. coaching with empathy, coaching different races, teaching these parents. But he is also going to send someone from the Mariners, might be him now
oh,
if
wow.
I ask him.
Wow.
The goal of that and where you were going is to help these parents. A lot of times now you're not just teaching them skills, how to hit the ball. You're teaching them life skills. You're teaching them morals. You're as much a parent to those kids while you're at practice as you are a coach. And we've got to empower these parents, these volunteers, to not make it so hard. You shouldn't have to deal with discipline issues. If you're volunteering to coach you're giving up your Thursday night, you get off work, it's your hard job, you rush to the field to get screamed at by other parents for how you're coaching there, that's not healthy. And that's destroying the entire experience of what we're trying to create. We're trying to bring kids back to the community where you get a kid who plays baseball with these kids, and they're on his school. He sees him at school. He sees him at church. He serves with them in Boy Scouts or other groups. You've got all these ties that really creates and fosters that community. And that kid, whether or not he's good, doesn't really matter. He's going to learn how to win and lose as part of a team. He's going to learn social skills, or she, and learn how to be a citizen, right? Mm-hmm. And give back to people and work on a team. And so there's so many benefits to having kids participate, not just the physical ones that we touched on, but the mental and also the spiritual, right? I mean, as a organization, we want to pour back into these kids and give them the holistic and moral values that's going to help them in life. And so that's what the Coaches Clinic is designed to do. We've partnered with Beyond Sports Lab, who is a minority-owned sports facility in North Little Rock. We've worked with Jerry and Jason for years out there, great guys. And we're going to be building that coaches clinic out with the idea of empowering parents to not just be coaches, but to be leaders and to help train those kids and teach those kids and make baseball players, but make great Arkansans.
Yeah, what an exciting program. You've got so much going on. I keep looking at my list here, and I'm going to run out of time. How about the Cleat Closet program? Talk a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, this is a blessing because we are associated with the Travelers. Being a professional baseball player means you get a lot of swag, right? You get free bats. Just about the time you start making $1 million, you start getting a bunch of free stuff. Mm-hmm. Go figure. But you get cleats and gloves and equipment, and they'll try some of that stuff for a week or two, and maybe they don't like it, and they're always buying new cleats and new bats. And so the leftover equipment, it's got to go somewhere. Ding, 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 ding. Youth Foundation on deck. And so I have literally hundreds of pairs of lightly used, expensive cleats. These are the metal spike, molded. I mean, these are like, you can't find a pair of these for under $180.
And
I have them in sizes. Most of my sizes are 11, 12, but we have some Latin players. So I have like 9s and 8s, you know, a little smaller shoe sizes for those guys. But it's an amazing thing. And we've given out 41 pair of cleats to high school and college baseball players who would not have been able to afford it. We also have equipment, belts, pants, gloves, all kinds of stuff that we've been able to donate. And that's just a way that we can help serve the community. If you're a parent, and this goes to any parent out there, if you're a parent and your kid is on the fence, do you want to get them invested in sports? Well, you may not want to invest $300 or $400 in gear or have that money to try a hobby that they're going to quit in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So what we do is we have a loaner program. Contact me. I'll loan you all the equipment your kid needs to participate. If they like it, you can keep the equipment or you can give it back and buy them new stuff, right?
Yeah.
But that way it breaks down that barrier. Most of the barriers are economic.
Right.
Most of them.
Absolutely.
And that's what we've been most effective is breaking down those economic barriers. And if we can continue to do that, we're already seeing the results, Rex. I mean, the people in this community are centering behind it. I've got support as we move along. You know, this is only our third year
of the
Youth Foundation.
That's right.
And we already have more than 40 volunteers who have
come
out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
Softball players, ex-softball coaches, baseball players, people at the Office of Oral Health, Department of Health Services. I mean, these people want to help these kids, and we're the vehicle to do it. So it's been really inspiring to see how the community centers around youth and kids, and everybody's pushing in the same direction. It's awesome.
Let's go back to the change that we saw in the ownership of the Travelers. I mentioned that DBH brings these enormous national resources to the table that we just could not do as a local ownership. How does that benefit ultimately the foundation that you have an owner with national ties, with deep contacts inside the MLB offices in New York? I could go on and on with what that brings to the table.
You are absolutely right. In fact, it's exciting. It is energizing in a way like I have never been pumped. And you know me, I stay on volume 11 anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
So once we got partnered with DBH, it has been amazing. What the goal is, and this is the vision, is to build here in Little Rock a program that is replicatable across the country. Now, DBH, they own 37 teams.
That's right.
And
it keeps going up. I can't keep down.
I think we
were 35, 36. There's been another one since then.
They just acquired the Knights, Charlotte Knights. Yep. And so they're growing rapidly, and I think they're going to get to 55 teams is their goal.
Wow.
Once they get there, then I think we'll start to see more investment back in the youth, in the nonprofits. But what's exciting is that I've talked to the DBH owners and leadership, and when they purchased the teams, there was about 12 teams that had nonprofits. Most of those teams were just nonprofits on paper. They were just tax shelters, and so they don't want to do that. That's not what they want to do. They want to close it down. But us and Charlotte are the only two teams in the DBH family that currently have foundations that are good. Now, Charlotte's foundation is 40 years old.
Wow.
They have had that, and they make about $300,000 a year that they give away. So they're a well-established foundation. I don't want to say an old dog, you know, set in their ways, but that's how they are.
Yeah.
We are the new kids on the block.
And really design a model here.
Can build it from scratch up. And one of the things that I did, purely by accident is I learned to copy things rather than invent them, right? My best ideas are always stolen. And so I copied the Mariners Youth Foundation program almost identically as far as their structures and how they give out grants and the way that they do programs, which is exactly what DBH is looking for. They want to replicate the Major League Baseball experience. And so we are in a position like no other team in the DBH family to create a product that then can be moved and copied all at all the other DBH teams. And then, Rex, we're talking about making big change. Mm-hmm. We're talking about changing thousands of kids' lives and reshaping the face of baseball. We're going to create a feeder program through the MLB Development Program, through the MLB League Apps Program, that creates kids in America, hopefully from Arkansas, mm-hmm. that grow up and get in the major leagues.
Yeah, I love it. I have to say, having been somewhat involved in the sale earlier this year, that one of the things that DBH found attractive about the Travelers, in a world where teams move, they're constantly changing names for marketing reasons, so forth, is the history and tradition that we have here in Arkansas. The Arkansas Travelers, going back as a Little Rock team to 1901, literally one of the oldest professional sports franchises in America. The Travelers name is the second oldest, second only to Buffalo.
That's right. You gave away my Jeopardy question.
Yeah, in minor league baseball. And so tremendous history here, tremendous heritage here. And in a world where teams, you know, tend to have new names, you know, they're the lizards one year and the grasshoppers the next, you know, trying to find a new marketing. That was one of the things, I tell you, and I appreciated them for that, that DBH found very, very attractive to mm-hmm. buying this team. It's got a long history, a long heritage. And what you're doing at the Youth Foundation effort, the Youth Foundation level, is adding to that history and heritage.
Absolutely. Well, it's something that DeTravs have always done. I mean, this will be my 19th year with the team, and we've always had Little League teams come
up.
We've always done Field of Dreams.
I came as a little leader. That's how old this is.
I mean, I can tell you, 5-6 years ago, long before the Youth Foundation existed, we were doing field renovations. Mm-hmm. I've got pictures of our former president, Russ Meeks, on a zero-turn mower out in a youth field over in Mabelville, Little Oaks Park, right? Like, we've spent a lot of time. We've always done this. This isn't new for the Travelers, but the Youth Foundation is a way to formalize it and to give us a vehicle to really make change. You know, for a for-profit business, you got to pay taxes and there's all these rules. Plus, you can't take donations or things like that. I mean, we would never be able to have the Cleat Closet or some of these programs if we weren't a nonprofit. So the goal being to actually use our leverage, use that 120 plus year history and the notoriety that we have in Arkansas to actually change lives and actually help kids get back inspired with baseball. I mean, one of the best parts about my job is talking to old guys. I gotta be careful when I say that now, but like older guys than me about their time at the Travelers.
Yeah.
Going to baseball games, sitting at Ray Winder.
I can tell you, I grew up an hour away in Arkadelphia, and I can remember, you know, wearing your cap. You got to wear your cap, your youth league team, going to old Ray Winder Field, sitting in the right field bleachers. They would give us, you know, $5 to spend on concessions, and it was just one of those things I remember decades later, so I can attest to that.
Well, and here's my question for you. Okay, you remember that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what you ate?
Yep, probably.
Do you remember hanging out with your friends? You remember the experience, but do you remember the score of the game?
No.
Do you remember who we played?
Most people can leave tonight and they won't know the final score or who we played.
We do those surveys.
That's the thing about minor league baseball that makes it really fun. It's a family.
Everyone remembers that experience.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers going with their buddy, catching a foul ball, meeting the mascots, getting a hot dog. That's what we do. And if we've been doing that for almost 150 years. Here in Arkansas. I mean, that tradition, as it continues on, I think DBH saw that. They saw that intellectual property is incredibly valuable because it is, because it's part of Arkansas. The Travelers are a part of the fabric of this community. There's very few people that have grown up in this state that don't have some experience with the Travelers.
Exactly.
Maybe you went one time with your kids, you know, as your elementary school classroom, right? But you know the Travelers, and you've seen us, and you've heard us, and that's a community element that you can't buy. That's there's no dollar amount on that.
And you play such an important part, Lance, and I mean this sincerely, of the game night experience. I can remember we had a board meeting coming off the pandemic. Of course, we missed the entire 2020 season, so everybody's still a little nervous. You still had people wearing masks till they got inside the gate in 2021, mm-hmm. even,
yep.
as you started the new season. And I can remember saying at a board meeting, look, I'm a newspaper columnist. I simplify things because I've only got so many inches of newsprint. And so I've got to fit my ideas into 30 inches, even if it's a complicated subject. So I said, I know this is simplified, but I can put our key to success in three words, and that is clean, safe, and fun.
Yep.
And I think that really sums up the experience. Post-pandemic, clean has never been more important than it is now. You're not going to find a cleaner ballpark than Dickey Stevens. I mean, when I was a board member, I was vice president of the board. Our president, Russ Meeks, drilled this into all of us. You're going to the concession stand, somebody's thrown down a wrapper, you pick it up and put it in the trash. Yeah. You see board members doing that, as you know. Yeah.
Many times,
hot
Russ
dog wrapper down
trash
there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pick it up off the floor and you throw it. So clean, safe, people feel safe. And then you help make it fun. But I think those three words can really, really sum up what we're all about.
Absolutely. Throw in affordable and you just have a great commercial for the Travs. In all fairness, I do feel like I have a cheat code because we are such a fun, family-oriented thing. We're a great opportunity. I mean, the weather is amazing right now. We're having the most mild end of August, beginning of September we've ever had.
August as we take this right now. Yeah.
I mean, the weather is just great. And so that just incentivizes people to get outside and have fun. And whether you're a kid who's never had an experience of playing baseball and want to hang out with your friends, or whether you're a dad and a mom and you just want to escape from the ballpark a little bit, there's no other option. I mean, we are the best. Now, I'm biased, obviously, mm-hmm. but we are the best option.
Yeah.
You can come hang out, have a great time, and hopefully that kid will be inspired, see something that they love, see those baseball players. And that's one of the biggest things that I do for this youth is I say, look at that guy. That guy's a professional baseball player. He signed with the Seattle Mariners, and when he was your age, he was shorter than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're like, what? Like, it resets the mindset. And that's what we do. We inspire those kids. I want that kid to try out for his Little League team. I want him to be on Legion Ball. I want him to grow and call me and I'll buy him a glove.
Exactly.
We'll put him in college.
Exactly.
We'll participate. And we now, for the first time ever, have a roadmap where if you are a kid of any age, I'd say under the age of 14, if you're under the age of 14, we now at the Youth Foundation have a roadmap that can foster your support of baseball, can help you learn, and if you got the skills, get you drafted.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's not going to cost a parent thousands and thousands of dollars.
I knew we were going to run out of time far too quickly. So as we close, Lance, if somebody's listening out there and said, boy, this is a great effort, I would really love to support the Arkansas Travelers Youth Foundation, how do they find you? How do they get involved?
Well, you can contact me directly, lance@travs.com.
That's easy.
You go look for Lance Restum on my click on it. It goes right to my email. It'll email me directly. That's the quickest way. Go to our webpage, go to our Facebook page, see what events we're having up. I'm always looking for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always looking for folks to participate. I'm always looking for sponsors. So if they go there, they can find out what we're doing. But if anyone has a passion for kids or what we've talked about today inspires them, call me. Just call me at the ballpark, 501-664-1555. Call me and let's talk about helping kids.
Wonderful. Lance, thanks for all you're doing.
It's an honor, as always.
Thanks,
Rex.
Lance Restum, the executive director of the Arkansas Travelers Youth Foundation. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.